Good day, friends. We again welcome you, and how we are thankful to the Lord for the privilege of just sitting down and sharing with you the precious things of the Word of God. And whether you're reading the book of Genesis or going right through your Bible, you remember that the center of it all is our Savior. Our Lord, you remember in John 5, spoke of the fact that to the Jews of his day, if you'd believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote concerning me. And in this 24th chapter of Genesis, there is given to us a wonderful picture in type of the Spirit of God gathering together a people from among the Gentiles to be the bride of Christ. Remember, Paul could say to the Corinthian church, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. We belong to him. Like you have it in Ephesians 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, and he might present the church to himself, a holy church, having neither spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. And he goes on to speak of this relationship between a husband and a wife. Now in the 24th chapter of Genesis, we have getting a bride for Isaac. And I needn't go back too much over what we've already taken. The first 9 verses of how Abraham desired a wife for his son Isaac. Isaac is now 40 years of age. And Abraham's 140. Sarah has died and has been buried. And I take it that Abraham was concerned about his son. You remember that Abram was walking with God. He was the friend of God. Amazing thing, I have a statement like that made in the Word of God, Abraham, my friend. And now Abram's quite concerned that Isaac should not marry one of the daughters of the Canaanites. They were idolaters. They were in moral corruption. Let me not forget to remind you that when God called Abraham out, he had already given the world over to uncleanness, to vile affections, to a reprobate mind. You have this in Romans chapter 1. He let the nations go their own way and chose this man, Abraham. And I say that God had a perfect right to choose the family through whom his son should come into the human race. And when God said to Abraham in chapter 12, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When you come back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, I believe it is, he spake not of many seeds, but of one seed, which is Christ. So please keep this in mind as you go through the revelation of God to this man Abraham, and now to Isaac. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The fulfilling of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, is now limited to Abraham and to his seed. Through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And so on. So you have this question of him saying to his servant, no name given, I want you to go and get a boy, a wife for my boy Isaac. And I don't want you to go back to where we came from, down Ur of the Chaldees. I don't want you to go back there, which is full of idolatry and corruption. I want you to go to my brethren. I want you to go there. And what if the girl won't go with me? Then he said, he will send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife for my son from thence. The confidence of Abraham that God would direct even in the question of a wife for Isaac. You know, I felt the other day like saying this to you folk, to my own heart. Listen, father and mother, you be much in prayer for your boy or for your girl, that they might be married in the Lord. What I'm trying to get at is how many families have been broken up because Christian girls have married unsaved men and vice versa. You pray much that the right one for your girl or the right girl for your boy, that God will lead them together. And just as Abraham had confidence that God would lead in this matter, may you have that same confidence that God would lead you in this matter concerning your own children. Now, we've been taking up this question of the servant and Rebekah from verses 10 to 60. We had his prayer before God in verses 10 to 14, of how he said, "I'll ask the girl for a drink, and she will say to me, I'll not only give you a drink, but I'll feed your camels too. Let this be the girl." And you know how it worked out. "I being in the way, the Lord led me." You know, I think of that verse in Isaiah 65:24, I believe it is. "Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." And so you have them, have the servant, when he found out that Rebekah was Abraham's niece, he worshipped the Lord. I like this. He worshipped the Lord. "I being in the way, the Lord led me." I repeat it again. And if a thing is worth having, it's worth repeating. You can't live in Abraham's house and not know he's God. If we were to live in your house, would we know your God? Does your children know your God? Are you going to sacrifice your children to this world and not lead them into a real place of intimacy? No, first of all, of relationship, and then intimacy with God. My heart yearns for every fellow and every girl to know something about the relationship with the Savior and a life in God. There's nothing in this whole wide world that can compare with that life of knowing the Savior and walking in His fellowship in obedience to His Word. When I think of the tens of thousands of young people today in my own city, indifferent. When I think of the thousands of professing Christian young people and the lack of their knowledge of God, their lack of the knowledge of the purpose of God, the lack of the knowledge of the will of God for their own lives. And I tell you, my friend, as this verse says, "I being in the way the Lord led me." All He wants is you to put yourself in His hands, just like He did. He put Himself in the hands of Abram's God. And when he saw God move, he worshipped. Again, I say the need for us to worship and to praise the Lord. I again ask you the question. I'm going to be very personal. I've asked myself the question over and over again. Mitchell, whatever your name is, how much time do we give in worshiping to God, worshiping the Lord? When we see God move, and we're full of thanksgiving, full of praise and joy because God has answered prayer, but how much worship do you have to come right in the presence of God and just love Him? Pour out your heart of love and affection for the one who loves you, one who works all things out for His glory. Now in verses 29 to 60, you have the servant's preparation to leave. Now, you remember, he was called in Laban. Laban ran out to the man at the well. And he saw the earrings, and he saw the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and heard her testimony. And he invited the man to come on down to the house and live with him, stay with him. And the man came in, and they washed his feet and took care of him. And then he said in verse 33, will you please mark these verses? Listen to the wonderful story. They set meat before him. I don't know how long since he had a meal, but they set meat before him, and he said, "I will not eat till I've told mine errand." And they said, "Speak on." He said, "I'm Abraham's servant." Oh, listen, are you eager enough to bear testimony for your Savior like this? "I'm not going to eat until I've told you my errand. I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly." He goes on and repeats a little of the history of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and so on, and of how he's come to get a bride for Isaac. And in verse 39, "And I said to my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. He said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred of my father's house. Then shall you be clear from this oath when you come to my kindred. And if they won't give you one, then you're clear of your oath. And I said this to him, and he goes on and repeats of how he had told the Lord about the pitcher, about asking for a drink, and about the camels and so on. And then in verse 47, and I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Nabal's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earrings on her face, and I put the bracelets on her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And then you remember they said, this thing is of the Lord. We cannot speak to you, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. It came to pass that when Abram's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord again. Notice he worshipped again and bowed himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10 days. After this she shall go. That was a reasonable thing. But he said, not so, no. Don't hinder me. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, well, we'll call the girl, we'll call the damsel, we'll call Rebekah, and ask what she wants to do. And they called Rebekah, and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abram's servant, and his men. They blessed Rebekah, and said to her, thou art our sister, be the mother of thousands of millions. And let your seed possess the gate of your enemies which hate you. And Rebekah rose, her damsels, and rode upon the camels, and followed the man. The servant took Rebekah and went his way. You see, I just want to mention this fact. Note his testimony. Note the confidence of Abraham again. And said, the Lord, whom I serve, will send his angel before you. Don't worry about it. What a wonderful story. I say, what a wonderful story. The whole topic is Abraham and Isaac, all the way through. Abraham, Isaac his son. The servant doesn't say a thing about himself. He talks about Abraham and his son. Which reminds me, by the way, of John 16. Again, I come back to it, 13 to 15 of that chapter, where Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will he do? Bringing all things to your remembrance. He will take the things of mine and show them unto you. He will show you things to come. Now when you come to verses 61 to 67, you come to the end of the chapter. Will you please notice one or two things? I read this. And Rebekah rose, verse 61, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and they followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah. She became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death, at 40 years of age. Just one or two things here. You'll notice. What do you think they talked about on the journey back? Now, it wasn't a day's journey. I don't know how many days it would take them on camelback to go from Beersheba. They would have to go way north through Damascus and go way north through Syria and on down to Haran. It would have taken quite a few days, maybe a few weeks. And this girl was willing to leave her mother, to leave her brother, and to go with this man to be married to a man she'd never seen. What do you think her topic of conversation would be every day when they would get off the camels, or when they're riding down the trail, or when they're sitting around the campfire at night? What do you think they were talking about? Why, I think their servant was just pouring into the ears of Rebekah the wonders, the marvels of how God had led Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, how the God of glory had appeared unto him, of how God revealed himself as El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, of how God had revealed to him as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the nurturer, the almighty God who quickened the body of Abraham, his master, when he was 100 years of age. He would talk about the death of Sarah. He would talk about the whole thing. He would reiterate over and over again. For this man lived in Abram's camp. He was the honored servant of Abraham. What do you think they talked about? Well, tell me, my friend. What do you think the Spirit of God is doing today in the world? He's gathering out a people for his name. As Acts 15, you remember, God is gathering out a people for his name. When he's through gathering out a people for his name, he's going to return to the world. He's going to regather Israel. And he's going to rule over the nations of the earth with a rod of iron. He's going to reign in righteousness. But what's he doing now? He's not reigning today over the world, and that is over the nations of the earth. Israel is not in the place where he wants it to be. They're in the land. They're not sure of what they've got. They're unsettled. And God gave an everlasting promise to this man Abraham. This land was to be an everlasting possession to his seed after him, through Isaac and through Jacob and so on. What do you think the talk of conversation the Spirit of God has today? He wants to take the things of Jesus and make them real to us. God is gathering out a people to be the bride of his son. And he gives gifts unto Rebekah. And God has given gifts, as you have it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Spirit of God giveth to each one severally as he wills. And read all about the gifts he has given to his people, preparing us to be with our Savior, to spend eternity with him. I sincerely hope, my friend, that you're going to be there. And you notice that at eventide, Isaac left his tent and went out at eventide into the field, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah said, "Who is this man in the field?" And the servant said, It's my master's son. It's Isaac." And she put a veil on her and got off her camel and went to meet Isaac. Oh, friend, it's nearly eventide. For 1900 years, the Lord has been gathering out a people for his name. The Spirit of God has been using the Word of God, bringing people to the Savior. Redeemed them, he bought them for himself, giving them gifts, spiritual gifts, knitting them together in one body called the church. And it's just about eventide. And one of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to come. In Thessalonians chapter 4, I read, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to be raised first. And then we who are alive and remain on the earth are going to be joined together with them. And we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord. My, what a prospect. What a hope God's given to us. But I want you to get it in your mind and your heart. The Spirit of God today is gathering out a people for His name. And you know, the mother of Rebecca and our brother said, stay 10 days, stay for a while. Oh, no, I've got to go home. Please don't hold me up. In the morning, he said, send me way back to my master. Rebecca, will you go? Yes, I'll go. And at eventide, they came, and there was Isaac, and he took Rebecca to his mother's tent, and he loved her. She became his wife. Friend, let me tell you, the Savior today is gathering out a people for his name by the power of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And it's eventide. Did you hear me? It's eventide. And it's time for the coming of the Savior for his own. I don't want to go into the field of prophecy except to say this. It's eventide. There's not much time left for us to bear testimony for the Savior. There's not much time for us to live on earth. The coming of the Lord is at hand. What manner of men or women ought we to be but as those who live in daily anticipation of seeing Him whom having not seen, we love. And remember, Paul could say, there is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but unto all those who love His appearing. Oh, friend, do you know the Savior? The Spirit of God is still in the world today, gathering out a people for His name. And He wants you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. Put your trust in Him and you'll pass from death to life. And for those of you who are saved, won't you live today in the expectation of seeing the Lord Jesus face to face? My, what a prospect. My, what a hope. He may come today. It's eventide. And the Lord Jesus may come today for His own, for His bride, to be knitted together and to be forever with the Lord. God bless you today, and may His face shine upon you, and may you enjoy His fellowship today.